Hello everyone, welcome to another video from Fantasy Football Scout. This time we are turning our attention to Fan Team, and I am joined by the Premier League Fan Team champion of last year. It's Josh. How are you doing, Josh?
Hey Az, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm very good. I'm really interested in this Champions League game. Obviously, we did the video on the dedicated channel last week. God, time's flying, isn't it? So this is going to be a bit more in depth on some of the premium assets, and we're going to look at some of our players. If you're interested in the basics of the Fan Team group stage Champions League game, and I will stress it's for the group stages, so in a way it's better because you don't have to, you know, sign up to an entire Champions League tournament. You can, you know, get in, do the group stage, get out, you know, try it out. There's really good prizes on offer and all of that. So if you're interested in playing and don't know anything about it, I would suggest that you start with the video that Josh and I did last week, and there's a link to that in the description below. But if you've watched that, or if you're familiar with everything, then by all means stay, and we will hopefully talk through some more advanced stuff. So let's just start with the entrance. So at the moment, there's 2,120 people signed up, and the buy-in to the Fan Team tournament will cost you £16.80, which is 20 euros. The prizes I did have somewhere, but I've got the wrong one. Anyway, it's 250 grand guaranteed prize pool, and they're paying up to around 1,200 places, something like that. So yep. At the moment, you've got a very good chance of winning some money at some point. I don't know what the entrance is going to go up to, but it's very low at the moment, so it's a really good time to get involved. And actually, you probably won't have a better chance of winning some money on Fan Team than this game. We'll definitely see some more sort of before the deadline, you know, next week. But yeah, I just think it's a great game. And you know, if you like European football and stuff, and you want to sort of use some of those skills to, you know, pick a team then and win some money, then this is the place to do it. Right, Josh, so last week we talked about quite a lot of different things. You'd done loads of research on sort of shrewd picks and acquisitions from different teams. It's helped me a lot with building my team. What I've done this week is we didn't really talk too much about the premium assets. So I've got some stats on some of the premium assets, some of the best players in European football when they're playing. And yeah, I think some of it might surprise you. So I'm interested to see what you think. But yeah, let's get straight into it. So
that's good, mate.
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about Lewandowski. So the players that I looked at are the most expensive ones on Fan Team. So it's Lewandowski, Lukaku, Benzema, Haaland, Messi, Ronaldo, Mbappe and Salah. Not a bad list, is it? Looking at your teams, you seem to be favouring two players here, which are Ronaldo and Haaland. What are your thoughts? Why is that?
To be honest, mate, the majority of that is fixture-based and captain-based. So they've got the best fixtures. Those two are in like what I would describe as kind of easy groups, or like at least I think every game is winnable for Man United and Dortmund respectively. And it's just pretty much any of those 6 weeks that I look at on the fixture ticker, as long as those players are going to play, I think there's a very good chance that they would be a captain option for me. So it's like sort of having a minimum of two captain options per week, and it, just a really easy way of setting it. And obviously you can have other premiums as well, which I'm sure you're going to try and convince me on now.
I am indeed. Well, firstly, looking at the numbers for these players is quite eye-opening, because you talk about elite players and then you look at some of these numbers and you think, wow, these are why these guys are paid the money they are. I mean, Lewandowski, for example, is someone that he's the most expensive player in the Fan Team game. He's 14.5. I knew he was good, obviously, but like when you look at his record, it's just absolutely unbelievable. I mean, he got 46 goals last season, 7 assists. He has the highest expected goal involvement of any player in world football, you know, at this kind of elite level, of 1.04. So he's pretty much getting an attacking return every match. You can't ask for more consistency than that, can you?
I mean, what a player. Yeah, he is the most expensive player on the game for a reason. Lewandowski. But I've taken a look at these stats just while you were talking there, and I'm looking at Haaland and I think, oh my God, what a player he is as well. Like he's getting one XGI a game, that which is really similar to Lewandowski, and he's a million cheaper. So do you think he could be a really good factor and pick as well?
Well, yeah, just a bit. You know, I mean, I didn't realize he'd get 10 assists as well. Like, these are incredible numbers. I mean, look at Ronaldo, and like, he is, you know, just, you know, very much regarded as an out and out goal scorer. I mean, just 4 assists that he got. Salah as well, 6, and Lewandowski 7. But I mean, Haaland up there with 10 is kind of one of the best. I think only Messi's got more than him out of the players on this list. So yeah, Haaland, I think, has just got everything in his locker. He's a million cheaper than Lewandowski. I think Haaland is just a bit of a must in this game. I just think he's gonna get returns like whenever he plays. It's what we do with that second spot, and I think it's got to go to one of the guys on this list, obviously, because these other guys. And we've gone with Ronaldo, but when I look at Lewandowski, and even like Mbappe and Messi, I think, are we missing a bit of a trick here? Because we didn't really talk too much about them last week. We kind of set our minds on Ronaldo and Haaland, but yeah, are you looking at any of these players and thinking, you know, let me just go through the list quickly. So I'll talk through expected goal involvement, because that is, you know, sort of a predictor of return. So Lewandowski's at the top with 1.04. Then you've got Haaland with 1. So he's getting 1 attacking return predicted every match. Next is Mbappe with 0.9 and Messi with 0.89. So these stats are for all the games they've played in the last 365 days. So it includes Premier League, Champions League and like international games as well. Lukaku's there with 0.83. And then it's Ronaldo with 0.72, Benzema with 0.71. So not that much difference between Ronaldo and Benzema, which is quite surprising. And again, I think this is where the assist potential of other players comes in much more. Ronaldo's expected assist is so low because it's just all about the XG. It's the only thing kind of popping up. But bottom of this list is Salah with 0.66. And I'd say Liverpool have one of the toughest groups out there as well. So he's not really someone who I'm considering, but he's the cheapest player on this list. A lot of people were going for him, right?
There's another reason why I wouldn't necessarily consider Salah as well, because if you notice, he's the only midfielder on this list as well. Now, it makes it so easy to like jump between all the strikers here. Sorry about that background noise. Whereas moving from Salah to one of these would be 2 moves. And obviously that's like 2 precious transfers as opposed to just 1 if you were to jump from Haaland to Ronaldo, for example. That would be really easy to do. Whereas moving from Salah to Benzema or Salah to Haaland would be much more difficult, wouldn't it? So
yep.
I think the fact that all the others are strikers is a really nice, it's a nice way of just ruling Salah out, like especially when you say they've got 2 like decent teams in their group as well. Well, one's not just decent, but and Milan aren't bad either, so they've got like a kind of tough group. I would say a Porto, the 4th team in their group as well. I think it's just a really tough group.
It is really tricky. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I'm still expecting them to get through it, obviously, but I don't think we're going to see sort of massive scores for them. And I think when you look at Haaland in particular, Lewandowski, like, you know, if Ronaldo starts against young boys, which he could well do, you've got to think that he's going to get a big haul there. So I think the potential of some of the other heavy hitters on this list is bigger than Salah. But the fact Salah is a mid is a good point. Do you think that, you know, obviously he gets extra points for things like that. Do you think that in any way helps him, or is he just a complete write-off for you?
I think there's just such a plethora of options here. Like, I mean, that you've got a list of 7, 8, sorry, here. And they're all incredible in their own right. So I think you do have to do some degree of like nitpicking and like ruling some out from the start, because you can't have more than 2 or 3 of these. I think 3 an absolute maximum, 2 is probably the sensible amount to go for of these. And so for me, like on XGI, Salah's the lowest. He's also, as I mentioned before, a bit annoying given that he's a mid and all the other premiums are strikers. I don't think the price saving between him and Ronaldo, as one example, for 0.5 million is worth the additional difficulty in fixtures and also the drop-off in XGI. So I think I would rule him out on this game, which sounds weird because he's just an auto-pick on most other games we play, isn't he? But there's just too many good players in the Champions League, unfortunately.
Well, it's 2 reasons why I like this kind of format, and the UEFA Champions League game as well gives you a chance to experiment with some of these. Because, yeah, players that you regard as a lock-in, it's dependent on who else is out there and also the groups they've got. I mean, for example, looking at this list, I mean, Mbappe with 0.9 is only beaten by Haaland and Lewandowski. But their group is Man City, Leipzig and Bruges. So, I mean, how many goals is he going to get in those games? Obviously, Bruges is a good matchup, but Man City and Leipzig are no pushovers. And like we've talked about, the points are so likely to be shared between Neymar, Messi, Mbappe, that it almost feels like it's not worth jumping on them because you just don't know who's going to get the points.
That's a good point. We also just don't know how this is going to set up because Neymar hasn't played a game with them yet because I believe he's been injured for sort of the whole of the time. I mean, Messi's only played once off the bench, I think, hasn't he? But Neymar's been like injured for this whole time. So, and that will be the front three. Let's make no illusion about it. It will be Mbappe, Neymar and Messi when they're all fit. But how are they going to go together? Like, is Messi's assists going to go up? I expect so because there's just better finishers now around him. But like, will their overall XGI go up or down? I mean, it's no one's position to predict, really. We need to wait and see, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, someone like Benzema, for example, is doing, you know, is keeping up. He's not. When I look at this list, I still don't have Benzema up there as being like as good as these players, if that makes sense. But you know, I mean, Madrid's group is decent. Like, it's got Sheriff in it, who we've talked about being, you know, probably the weakest team in the whole Champions League. They've got Inter, who have had lost some absolute key players, and Shakhtar Donetsk, who defensively, I think, can be got at. So you've got to think a Real Madrid player could be a good one, and Benzema could be a factor. But I also like the look of like Bale and Hazard as well, potentially. His options at Madrid.
I think I've got my eye on possibly Bale as like a really cut price. I mean, he's 2.5 less than Benzema, for example. And I think it's like a way of getting in a third premium that's probably not quite a premium because 11 feels like it's just below that the threshold we've got on the board here, for example. Benzema, the problem with him is psychologically, he normally gets priced as lower than this bracket. So he normally gets priced below the likes of Ronaldo, Salah and Mbappe. Whereas I think Fanteam have just priced him correctly on this occasion because he is just that good as the stats show and as the Euro showed. And with him, Hazard and Bale as a front three with Vinicius as another option in the wide areas, I think he's going to get more than enough like support and people assisting him. So I think he could do really well in this as well, especially in the Sheriff game.
Yep, absolutely. The Sheriff game looks fantastic. Yeah, and like just touching on Haaland again quickly. I mean, Dortmund's group is Ajax, Besiktas and Sporting. So I'd say, out of all the premium options, Haaland is second on the list for XGI. And I'd argue that probably he has the best chance with the fixtures of getting attacking returns as well, based solely on those, which is just why I think he's the best option. He's the number one player for me that I don't think I've got a side without. And we're going to look at some team selections now. And I don't think you've got a side without him either in the ones you sent me. So it kind of says it all, really. Yeah.
No, I love him, mate. I absolutely love him. And I still... Ronaldo's a tough one for me. As you mentioned, I was quite heavy on him in both the way I was talking last week and some of the drafts I sent you. Is your gut feeling that he's going to just play every single game for Man United in every single tournament, in every single competition?
I don't think he plays against young boys. I think, you know, he's had 3 days of training now. I think he starts for United against Newcastle, and then I just don't think they need him against young boys. So, no, I think once he's fully integrated in the side and, you know, they start playing teams like, I mean, Villarreal's a hard game in the Champions League. They beat him in the Europa League final last year. He'll play in that game. Atalanta, you've got to think they're going to need to score goals. Atalanta are just so gung-ho. It's a good game for Ronaldo, that. So I think he plays in those games as well. So... basically, yeah, I think he does. I think he misses out on this first Champions League game, but then he plays pretty much every game after that when he's fit. Why wouldn't he? Like, he's a fit man. he's not going to need a rest, and I don't think Solskjaer's going to have the bottle to rest him.
No, but I do worry if he's missing this first game, he just becomes an auto non pick as well. Yeah. If that's your genuine perception, because I mean I haven't. Because my feeling is he's going to play against Newcastle for sure. Like, I can't see any world where he doesn't, right? So if you think he then does need that rest, that's an absolute disaster because this is the one fixture we were targeting, really. Yeah, like, for, I think he would have been an auto-cap for me if I knew he was starting. But the fact that there's some question marks there now, maybe I should pivot to someone else for week one at least and then maybe think about getting Ronaldo in week three maybe or something like that. Is it the Atalanta back-to-back header 3 and 4, is it? Have they got Villarreal in week two and then Atalanta back-to-back?
They've got, in week two, they've got Villarreal, yeah.
Yeah, so that's really interesting to target Atalanta because they can be got at defensively, as we've talked about. They're a very attacking team, which obviously in last year at least, they did leave quite a few gaps at the back. So that might be interesting to target Ronaldo for weeks 3 and 4, maybe.
Yep. I mean, or you go with someone like, I mean, because PSG have got Club Bruges in the first match, so it could be that you start with Messi and then maybe move down to Ronaldo. Who's got a Sheriff, Shakhtar Donetsk? So yeah, you can't really leave him money. But you know what I mean? If you leave, have a bit of a placeholder for Ronaldo if you don't think he's going to start in that game. I think that Club Bruges looks like a good game to target. I'm thinking, I was all set on Ronaldo and Haaland like you. The more I think about it, the more I look at this list, I just don't think I can go without Lewandowski. I just think all the signs point to him just scoring just a bucket load of goals. Like 46 goals last year is just absolutely ridiculous. And their group isn't that bad. I mean, who have they got? They've got
Barcelona.
They've got Barcelona, and we're not rating them particularly highly, given that they've sold half their team. Benfica and Dynamo Kiev. So there's absolutely no reason why Lewandowski can't score in those matches.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, mate. So it's just a case of finding those funds now, because he's obviously just 1.5 more than Ronaldo, for example, who was my placeholder. So where are we going to find that?
Yeah, well, if you're struggling for funds, check out Josh's video last week, because you put in some good cheaper names in that. Let's go through some of the teams that you sent me over, the ones you're looking at. You sent me three teams, one with five at the back, one with four at the back, and one with three at the back. So nice little variety. Let's start with the one at five at the back. So here you're targeting defensive double ups. So you've got, I can't even read the screen, but you've got Varane, Maguire, Rudiger and Azpilicueta. And is it Leipzig, the other two that you've got? I'm struggling to see the kit.
They're Sevilla, I think, mate.
Is it Sevilla?
Yeah, Sevilla, yeah.
And then you've got Reina, Muller, Haaland, Ronaldo, and the Sevilla striker. So so with this team, you're basically targeting three teams. Is that a strategy that you like with these kind of formats then?
I think this team is a really good example of me just going, right, who do I think are going to do really well in their groups? Who do I think are going to really perform in the first 4 weeks? Mm. Man United, for me, have got a very, very easy group for their standards. I think they should get through that group with the team they've got really easily. Dortmund, we've already talked about, they've got a really nice group as well. And Sevilla have actually got a really nice group as well. So I'd almost put them as like the number one seed from their group, even though it's quite an open group, I'd say. They're a bit cheaper, which like enabled me to pick the other eight.
It's
players
the opposite of the group of death, isn't it?
Yeah.
FC Salzburg, Wolfsburg and Lille.
You'd fancy Sevilla in that group. I think Lille had a great season last year, obviously, with all the Turkish players who didn't do quite so well for me in the Euros, but they definitely did well during the regular season. So Sevilla might find that tough, but I don't think Lille have started this season great. So that's the counterpoint to that.
Yeah.
But the point is, Sevilla have got six fixtures where you would be happy to play them for 6 weeks. So I think that I'm happy to like have them. And if I need to transfer them out, that's fine. But also I'm happy to keep them for the 6 weeks.
Yep.
Muller. Now, I'm starting to think, after what you've just said, that I might have to find a way of turning him into Lewandowski and turning Ronaldo into like a cheaper midfielder or something. Mm. Just because I think I had it in my head that Gnabry or Muller might be able to not keep up with Lewandowski, but for the price saving, keep up, if that makes sense. Whereas now I'm starting to think Lewandowski might just be someone we need, even though he's the most expensive player on the game.
Yeah, he's just clear, isn't he? He's just clear, like in terms of everything. It's you know, you look at like the Premier League and you look at like some of the players that we're considering, and then you know you look at some of the elite players and how clear they are of the more budget options. But then we're looking at the premium options and you've got one player who's just the standout of those as well. Just screams to me that he's someone that we kind of need to have. But, you know, they've priced him well. They've priced him as the most expensive player in the game. When I first saw that price, I thought he was overpriced compared to the other options. But the more I look at it, the more I think, no, he has to be up there with that price tag. So, yeah, really interesting. Reina, let's talk about Reina. I mean, he is someone you talked about last week. He's in all the teams that we're going to show on this pod. You really like him, don't you?
So I think he's really affordable for sure, yeah. I mean, I noticed he's got 3 attacking returns so far this season in 4 games. This doesn't include international games, so I'm not sure what he's been doing for the USA. But for Dortmund, he's got 3 attacking returns in 4 games this season. Now, he's very much a central midfield player, so he's not in the front 3 or front 2 or anything, but he is a central midfield player. But those attacking returns, those 3 in 4 games for a CM, I thought, for 8 million, I thought that's a really good price point. Now, an alternative to him would be someone like Wijnaldum, who I think could just naturally score really well for a team like PSG. He's probably the most advanced of the midfield three for PSG. So if he's playing off the likes of Mbappe and Messi and possibly Neymar in the future, I think there could be some attacking returns for him as well. And he's also likely to pick up some of the other peripherals, such as like the impact points, the 0.3 you get for that, the clean sheet point he might get, which is an extra one as well. So I think Reina is my favourite, but Wijnaldum's quite a nice pivot, I think.
Some facts about Reina. Don't know how much you know about him, but did you know that he's the youngest player to make 50 Bundesliga appearances? He's 18 years old.
Yeah.
So they've got Bellingham and Reina, you know, as such a young, like amazingly talented duo in the middle. He's number 7 now. He's taken it over from Jadon Sancho, and he's got 6 goals in 50 appearances for Dortmund. So it's not a record that screams we need him in our team, but when you look at the fixtures and thing, we want to tap into the Dortmund attack as much as we can. And yeah, like you keep saying, he is affordable as well.
We need to get it in our heads on this game because it's so different to the Premier League game, for example. 8 million is
cheap, a
mid-price midfielder. Yeah, yeah. That's definitely not. It's almost as low as you can go in this, really, because I think a lot of the ones that are sort of 6 and 6.5 are just unpickable. So I think 7.5 to 8 is sort of the lowest you can go for a midfielder or a striker, which makes it like makes someone like Reina a really, really attractive pick, I think. I guess we could do something where we're moving Reina and in this particular team where we're moving Reina and N Nesri. I can't pronounce the Sevilla striker's name, but I know he's really good. Where we could move those two and switch the money around there. So put our boy Traore in from Shakhtar, for example, for 7.5 up top and move Reina to like, you could even move him to Gareth Bale if we did that exact swap, which that seems good to me. I don't know. So maybe that's something we could look into as well. But for now, I think I like Reina as an 8 million.
Yep. So your second team, this is the one with 4 at the back. You've kept the Civil double up. You've gone for a Man City defensive double up as well. And that's Bilicueta's in there. Kept Reina. You've got Gnabry in, who you've been talking about. And like you say, our mate Traore leads the line with Ronaldo and Haaland. And you've got Grealish in the middle. So this team looks a bit more normal to me. It's still 4 at the back, but you're still targeting those kind of defensive double ups. I reckon your first and your third team, that I'm going to show in a minute, are a bit more punty. Would you say this one's probably closer to what you describe as kind of your main team?
Yeah, so I think the reason why this one looks better is just naturally because there's less money in the defence, basically. They're all maximum 7 million, as you can see on the screen. The goalkeeper's 7.5, but I'm happy to pay for Ederson or Oblak at that price, I think. And it just gives you more money to have forward. I mean, Gnabry, you know, do I want him or again, do I want to try and find the money
for
Lewandowski?
So disappointing in the Euros
again,
wasn't he?
I know. He did score last night for Germany because I had him in my my failing satellite team for the Champions League game last night. But he was so disappointing in the Euros. I completely agree with that. And also he plays a different position for Germany in the Euros. He played as the striker, obviously. Here, very much Lewandowski's the striker. So there is that to factor in as well. Is that a worse position for him? Probably. I think the balance is nicer here. As you mentioned again, we've got Reina. We've got Traore, who's got Sheriff first, so hopefully he can realise some returns in that game, like in that game we're targeting, basically. It's still got Grealish is like the top of the Man City assets that still give you a really nice safety net. So like he's not the most expensive Man City midfielder, but he does give you like Foden, Ferran Torres as two examples of players who you get if Grealish doesn't play for whatever reason. So I really like him. And Gnabry has got Muller underneath him. So like that's again another safety net. You'd be guaranteed to get one of those two basically. So
I think
maybe like you say, this is a more balanced team.
Yeah, I mean the safety net that you've just mentioned is obviously something we talked about in the last video, and it's so important. So if you are playing this for the first time, do you want to just explain exactly what the safety net is again, just for anyone who isn't quite sure?
So as the more observant amongst you will have spotted, you only get 11 players on this game. You don't get a full squad of 15, which you'd normally get on, which we get on the Premier League £1 million game, for example. So what Fan Team have done to counteract the fact that you've got no bench is that if one of your players in your 11, such as mine that I've got on the screen here, don't play for whatever reason, you'll get the next most expensive player from that same team auto sub in for them, like before the game starts, if that makes sense. So if Laporte doesn't play, I'll get John Stones in, for example. So I thought they covered each other really nicely as well, as another example. If Jack Grealish doesn't play at 10.5 million, I'll get another Man City midfielder that's 10.5 or 10 million in, for example. So the safety net always works where it's only from the same team. So I guess a strategy point of view from that would be you don't want to pick players who have no safety net. So you don't want to pick a striker for a team if he's the only striker for a team.
So Kevin,
now we do have this with Lewandowski.
Yeah, Kevin Cook in the chat says about Lewandowski. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is definitely going to be a problem, I would suspect, later on in the tournament if Bayern have won their first four games. But until they're qualified, I would think, I don't know about you, Az, but I would think he's going to play every game. I mean, the fact that they don't have another striker, I mean, Gnabry would slot in, I'd imagine, as the number nine if Lewandowski doesn't play. But Lewandowski's the man, isn't he? He's going to want to set some records in the Champions League this season, surely.
Yeah, so. I mean, I guess it depends if they sew the league up. If it's with two games to go or something, then he's probably going to miss one, and you don't know which one it is, and you've got no bench or safety there. I mean, Ronaldo's another problem as well, because I mean, you've got Cavani there, obviously, but it could be Greenwood that's pushed up front, who you wouldn't get on coming on for Ronaldo. So you do have it, you know, a little bit with some of these players. It's definitely worth checking who is below the players that you're selecting, just so you see who you're going to get in. And yeah, I think the perfect example is what you mentioned with the Chelsea players, with Reece James and Alonso, because we'll see my side in a set. But I've got those because I know that if Reece James doesn't play, then I'm going to get Azpilicueta in, who's below him or something like that. And if Alonso doesn't play, I know I'm going to get Chilwell in. And I really like that. If only it was like that in FPL, right?
Yeah, exactly, mate. I think it makes these Man City and Chelsea players in particular as two examples really, really pickable. Now, I'd imagine Bayern are the same just because they've got such a plethora of attacking options. I think you do want the cover on those as well. So even though Lewandowski's so good, it does put a slight like doubt in my mind now as to whether like I can take the risk of having 14.5 million of my budget on 0 points, basically, that's what will happen if he doesn't play. So
yeah, these are the kind of deliberations. Yeah, kind of deliberations we've got to make. So the third team you sent me is a much more normal three at the back, with both Manchester clubs with two. So Edison, Laporte, Maguire and Varane. And then Grealish, Chiesa, Reina. Is that David Klaassen, I spy?
He is 7-5. Indeed. He's been playing very well for Netherlands. I think he got three attacking returns on Wednesday night as well, as well as being like a really important part of this Ajax team as well. So he's someone
very,
I just
very
snuck
cheap
in today. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, very cheap. And then up front, so this is the one with Lewandowski and Haaland and Yarmouk as well. I like this team as well. I think this is probably my favourite of the three. It just looks a bit more what I'm used to, and you're kind of, rather than relying on defensive players, you're targeting just a team with Lewandowski and Haaland, and you found a way to make it work with Yarmouk and Klaassen being the cheaper options as well. So yeah, I like this one.
Yeah, I think looking at it, I think I would still be tempted to replace Yarmouk with Traore, just because Yarmouk's in a really tough group. I went for him as sort of an alternate 7.5 option, but I think Traore in that Sheriff game, I don't think I can resist it. For 7.5 in week one. So I think I'd have this team, but with Traore instead of Yarmouk, I think.
Yeah, I like Traore for that Sheriff game.
I think it's one I'll enter for sure, this exact lineup with just Traore and for Yarmouk, yep. I think. I don't think I can see me changing from that. I really like Chiesa as well. He obviously was amazing in the Euros. He's such a good player. And I think he'll be relied on at Juventus to be quite a key part of the puzzle now that obviously they've lost Ronaldo. It's now more of a team effort, isn't it, from them? So
you got to think he's going to step up and enter into that elite bracket, yeah, for sure.
They've got the Swedish, you know, the Swedish midfielder who plays as a striker, Kulusevski or something.
Yep,
he's the safety net for Chiesa, I think, as well. Or he's like at least 8.5 midfielder for Juventus. So if Chiesa didn't play for whatever reason, you'd get him on, which is a really nice option as well.
Again, this is targeting that kind of safety net to your advantage. But when it's positional like that, if it's either going to be this player or this player, and they're one after the other on that list, it's a really shrewd move to go for that. So this is my team. I don't think you've seen it yet. So I basically built this team based on what we talked about last week. So Oblak in goal, Laporte, Christensen and James, Ilicic, Reina, Kalinoglu, Bale, Ronaldo, Traore and Haaland. So the idea of Christensen, who's obviously very cheap, he has Thiago Silva below him. So my thought was it's going to be one of those two, right, if they stick to three at the back.
And Aspie's the same price as well, so you will get Aspie technically for Christensen as well. So you've got two, which is amazing, I think.
Okay, so are they the same price? So I could have Aspie over Christensen then?
Yeah, you could do, yeah, okay, which seems... They both seem good to me. I don't know. I think, like, it just depends on which one's going to get that one, like, fluky attacking return that we don't expect, you know what I mean? And that will determine whether your initial selection for Christensen or Aspilicueta was right. But they've both got so much cover, you don't need to worry about it, I don't.
Go on, Josh, rate my team. What do you reckon of this?
So I really like Kalinoglu, the Turkish guy. He really stands out to me. I really, really like him, actually. And he's got a good safety net as well. As I think he's the very top of the inter midfielders. So you get like everyone below him, which is absolutely great. Bale, as I mentioned before, I absolutely love. I think 11 million is a really kind price for him. The front three is one that I absolutely love. So I can't dispute that for a second. That's like my favorite front three, I think, from before we started talking today, definitely. And yeah, like the defense is super solid. I mean, you got a Man City player, an Atletico player and double Chelsea defense. I can't see how I could criticize that, really. There what about Iličić? Maybe would be one I would think about. Like, what's your thoughts on him?
Yeah, that spot is a bit troublesome. And I mean, it could be something that I looked if I'm going to move Ronaldo up to Lewandowski, I might have to have a tweak around some of these players and move Bale out. I mean, again, you were waxing lyrical about him last week, so it was almost entirely sort of based on that. But I think there are other options around that man. I mean, the likes of Klaassen, for example. I like these guys that sort of go to a team, don't really impress, like he did at Everton, and then move to a club where they're just better suited for that club, you know. And so I'm going to have to look into him in more detail. But if he's gone to Ajax and it happened with Tadic, didn't it?
So Tadic is a striker on this game, he is on all set pieces, including penalties. Yeah. So I wouldn't discount him either, to be honest, because they're in quite a nice group as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Tadic was someone who went to Southampton, showed flashes of kind of brilliance, and then ended up moving, and he's been nailing it for all accounts. Like he is the kind of the complete monopoly. I wonder if we're going to see that maybe happen with Depay as well at Barcelona. He's kind of got this dream move, but under sort of slightly strange circumstances. But he's known for being someone that can kind of, I say a big fish in a small pond. Barcelona's hardly a small pond, but you know what I mean? I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on him to deliver, and the players around him aren't what they were sort of 5 or 6 years ago. So he's another one, I think, who could potentially be a factor. But again, it's these striker spots are just so precious on this game.
These are all players, I was just about to say, these are all players I would be desperate to be midfielders. If Tadic was a midfielder, if Memphis Depay, for whatever reason, like on the Euros game, was a midfielder, we'd be quids in. We'd be all over them, I think, as two of our midfield slots. Like, you could have Tadic instead of Iličić, and you could have Memphis Depay instead of Bale. It would just be like perfect almost. Like, but unfortunately, those striker slots are just so precious. And I think if we do decide we're having two premiums as two of our three strikers, it doesn't leave enough, like, much money for the third one, really. So it might be we have to stick with our man Traoré, I think.
Yeah, Iličić is an interesting one because, I mean, he's getting on a bit. He's 33, but the main reason for him is Atlanta. Like, they're just so attacking. It's nice to have a player in their games because you know, I'm going to be watching a lot of Champions League football and games like UEFA game and fan team, you know, are there to kind of enhance your enjoyment a lot of the time on this stuff. And I want to be watching Atalanta games with one of their players. So I think you were saying last week that Iličić is the best option out of their team. So he's the one that I went for.
Yeah, so I think he is the best option just because he is classified as a midfielder because they've got Muriel and Zapata, I believe, as two strikers, and I think they're both the same price. So again, it's just that striker thing, how we don't want to pick them because they're strikers basically. So where I'm like unsure on a midfielder versus a striker for a team, I'm probably always going to side with the midfielder just because he doesn't take up the slot, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I don't think you can do that with Bruno and Ronaldo anymore, which is something I was like sort of looking at, but I just don't think this is going to come onto our FPL discussion, I'm sure. But like, I think Ronaldo and Bruno at the same price, which is what they are on the Prem game. Ronaldo's obviously 0.5 cheaper on the Prem game even. So it just makes him an auto pick, I think, in that exact spot. But yeah, we'll see for other teams if there's midfielders that maybe can cover the strikers. And I think that's what I was thinking with Bayern, for example, like trying to have Gnabry and Müller as like my midfield option so I don't take up a striker slot with Lewandowski. But it is Lewandowski. It's quite a tricky one, isn't
it? Yeah. Steve Horan asked in the chat about late entries. I don't believe there is any late reg in this, right?
There's no late reg in this one, 100%. Yep. And there's also no price rises, which is something I said incorrectly last week. So I'd like to go on the record and correct that at this point. There's no price rises. So you can pre-plan transfers. Like you can like book them in almost like and write them down on your little piece of paper, whatever you've got, and just be like, I'm targeting Ronaldo to another premium such as Haaland in week 3. Or you can have it in and know, similar to like the Sky game, for example, where the prices aren't going to change. So you can just know that you'll have enough funds for that in week 3 if it's a like for like price for price move.
It's all quite simple, isn't it? It's a simpler game. You've got 11 players, and if they don't play, you get in the ones below them on the prices. You haven't got to worry about manually making subs like it's doing the Euros. You haven't got to worry about price rises. There's lots of things that mean you can just kind of set and forget it and just do it. Just do your transfers at the end of the week. Is it because the lack of price rises mean you haven't got to move early and worry about injuries and stuff? You can leave it all until the next match week and then make your transfers then.
The counterpoint to that is say you might be busy on the Tuesday and team lock's going to be every Tuesday because there's going to be games on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, obviously. With the safety net enabled, you can be pretty sure that if you need to do your transfers on the Monday for whatever reason, you'll have 11 players playing. Mm. Like if you pick the top end of the Man City midfield, like I say, you're going to get one of the Man City midfielders in that slot and you're going to get one who's starting as well, which is a pretty massive thing for that team specifically. So if you wanted to move to Jack Grealish on the Monday, you would know you're going to get one of Grealish, Foden, Torres, etc. in your team, which, you know, if they've got a good fixture, you'd be all over that and you'd be more than happy to pay like 10.5 for that player, wouldn't you? So I'm playing it as a more relaxed game this year, and the safety net enables that. It's like it makes it much easier for the players to play the game, I think.
Yeah, no, agreed, absolutely. Right, just before we go, we're going to touch on our Premier League team for anyone sort of following that. So we've got two teams in this. We've got our late reg team and our sort of the main team set up. They're both doing terribly, 25,000 and 26,000 respectively. Let's have a quick talk about some of the moves we might make. So we've got Backman in goal, Trent, Tierney, Soufal, Mane, Ward-Prowse, Salah, Suchek, Fernandez, Ings, Tony. I mean, I still think it's a good team. We've got two free transfers though. So do you think we're going to be moving for Ronaldo, Lukaku, any of these guys?
I mean, any team where I see Bruno and Ings, my mind just starts flashing, I think. I just think that becomes Ronaldo and a midfielder. And we'll have so much money for a midfielder on this game as well, because you actually save 0.5 by moving Bruno to Ronaldo, which seems pretty ridiculous to me. I don't know.
So we'd have 8.6 for a mid.
Yeah, which seems great. And I think the best strategy with that would be to go for someone a little bit cheaper and pocket some of the money for a future week, I think. Ismail Assar seems a great pick to me at 6 million for the fixtures he's got coming up. He's got through his tough ones now. So I think he's a really nice pick who's got 90 minutes and penalties for fan team. That seems
not tempted by Traore?
So I think I would favour Traore over Trincao, definitely, just because I think Traore is more likely to get 90 minutes and he's more nailed to start as well, is the other thing. As I mentioned, I think I mentioned this to you before, but Pedence is back now. He came back in the Carabao Cup a few weeks ago. And obviously Neto's not a million miles away, I don't think. Now, for me, the favoured front three would be Neto, Traore and Jimenez when everyone is fit. So does that mean Trincao basically doesn't play, or does it mean he definitely rotates in and out anyway? So I'd go Traore over Trincao if you really want to go for the Wolves fixtures. I think that makes sense as well.
Yep. I mean, the big issue with this team is we haven't got an Antonio. So if you look at an FPL team and they didn't have Antonio, you'd be thinking, what the hell are you doing? Are we just not moving for Antonio then? We've only got Suchet.
I'm really struggling on Antonio now because he's got two attacking returns in all three of the first games. I mean, he's obviously performed outstandingly, and they have got Southampton this week, but the fixtures after this week are not good. I would say not good overall. I would say they're not good at all, really. So Southampton game's amazing, obviously, and then after that it becomes quite a bit trickier for West Ham. Now, Bruno is obviously fine for this 1 week, but he's definitely going to become a problem in future weeks. So are we supposed to correct that now, is my thinking.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we probably we've lost out on so many points now. It kind of feels a bit, you know, we can get Ronaldo instead, basically, which feels like we're ahead of things rather than chasing.
The alternative is just use the one move this week on that particular team. So just do Ings to Antonio, roll the move, probably captain Bruno or Salah. I mean, would be the obvious thing to do this week, and then maybe get Ronaldo in next week. Could be the thing.
I think if we get confirmation that Ronaldo's starting.
We're getting him, yeah.
If not, then let's just play. Let's just go.
And then this is like, this is potential injury city over here. This team that we're looking at now.
I know. So this is our late reg team. So Sar, Van Dijk, Trent, Reguilon, Son. Oh no, Salazar, Suchek, Fernandez, Calvert-Lewin, and Tony. So obviously we've got Son and Calvert-Lewin,
and potentially Van Dijk. I think Van Dijk's okay, but he did come off injured for Netherlands on Wednesday as well. So it was.
We have two free transfers with this. Yeah. I mean, hopefully Calvert-Lewin will be fine. I get the sense that Son's going to be out for a little while, so he might be the one that has to leave.
Me too. Have we got any in the bank or?
Nope.
That would have been so easy to go to. No, we can't even do that because we've got three Liverpool.
We could take a minus four here and do Son, Fernandes, and Tony, get rid of all three of those and get in Ronaldo. And
could we get instead? I'm just thinking, because we can't even get Jota because the Liverpool slot's taken as well.
Yeah, because we've got the two Liverpool defenders. Yeah,
so we could go. The problem is there's no one around Son's price that you'd want in midfield. I think Mane's an option at 10, but that's a bit further up.
Take a punt on Sancho.
Do you take that's what I mean? Like, I think if anything, I'd prefer to just take a punt on one of the Man City mids, like, than Sancho. Like, maybe just go Torres, but like, is that the best move for a game that's structured like the way this one is? I'm really struggling with this. I think maybe Son, you could maybe do Son and Calvert-Lewin to Ronaldo and have like the double up with Bruno. Is that weird? Like, it seems a bit weird, but
yeah, I guess it's kind of going the reverse of what a lot of people are doing. So it's, you know, targeting that Newcastle game and getting Dub United in.
Because if you did Son to a 6 million, so Son to your boy Traore, then you could do Calvert-Lewin to Ronaldo and you could have both of the Man United players for this week and maybe deal with Bruno next
thing
week.
The thing is, if Calvert-Lewin's fit, we're not going to be selling him before Burnley at home.
No, no way. Another thing to note for people, by the way, this is a really weird thing that's happened, but Fan Team have removed Hurst from the game.
Yeah.
So if you sell him, you can't get him back, basically. So you'll have to pay 4.5 for your fodder striker if you sell him and then want a fodder striker.
Because he's the cheapest in the game. Yeah,
he's the only 4 million striker, yeah. So now he's gone. Like, there's only 4.5s left, I think.
Yeah. So we've got things to think about. I think if Calvert-Lewin's fit, then maybe we just do Son to Traore and then just address it next week.
Yeah, I think that's more than valid. Yeah, I'm just trying to think if there's any other 7-5 mids, because I like Jota obviously, but maybe Greenwood. But is his days numbered a little bit as well? Once like Rashford, yeah, I think Rashford is back now.
I think we've missed the boat on him.
Think so too.
Yeah, we could do Tony up to Antonio with this plan as well for free.
Yeah, that seems nice.
Yeah,
we could even do. Oh, not quite. I thought we could do Hurst to Antonio. We're not too short, I think.
We like Hurst. He's our boy.
Yeah, we've got to keep him, I think. we've got to stay long.
Got to keep him to the end.
Yeah, that as much as I said, like, I don't know if Antonio, we've missed the boat now. I do think Tony to Antonio is still quite a significant upgrade until Antonio gets inevitably injured. But I think he's performing like a premium asset, as a lot of other podcasts have talked about as well. But are we going to look back in a few weeks and just be like, why the hell didn't we get Antonio in week four? You know what I mean? What were we thinking?
Why didn't we have him in week one?
That was the main problem. I mean, what, to be fair, this team only registered in week two, so we couldn't have got him
one. We sorted it in week one and ignored him in week. It's even worse, isn't it?
I think we're getting gradually worse, and we're now on week four with three weeks of data where he's hauled every week, and we're still going without him on some teams. So yeah. I think we're just going to be like the Antonio deniers or something. That's what we'll be known as, something like that.
I don't want to be known as that. I love Antonio.
I do as well. I genuinely love him.
It's a strange hill for us to die on, isn't it? The thing is, when you've got like Ronaldo and Lukaku there, it's just, they're the ones your eye turns to, isn't it? And, you know, someone like Antonio, if you've got him at the start, you don't touch him, but you're kind of always trying to be a bit clever and look for different opportunities and stuff and not just follow. Because, I mean, he's got 60% ownership. It's going to be even higher now going into this. It's going to be like 70-80%. So mean, that is massively high.
What's your thoughts on Lukaku as a side point?
Well, I think he's great, but I'm not considering him until game week 7.
I'm the same as you, mate, because if you pick Ronaldo in game week 4 now, you can just move him to Lukaku, and it seems like the easiest non-brainery thing ever, literally. You can just get Ronaldo in week 4, move him to Lukaku in week 7, and you save $1 million as well with that transfer on Fanteam, by the way. So
yeah,
that just seems so easy to me, like, and I just don't have to worry about it kind of thing.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree completely.
So that seems good. We're on the no Lukaku hill then.
No Lukaku week 7. That's going to hurt us, isn't it? You can just tell straight away. Right. That's it for us this week. I found that graphic. I knew I had it here somewhere. Champions League group stage tournament. So these are the prize breakdowns. Just if you're interested in that, 250 grand guaranteed prize and first place prize of 20,000 euros. So yeah, definitely sign up to that. If you've enjoyed this video, give us a like, give us a subscribe, and sign up to that game. There's all links and stuff in the description below. But Josh, thanks again for joining me, and I will see you next week. I think we'll be going back to Premier League stuff next week, so we'll be talking about the Monster game, and we'll be talking about how our terrible teams are getting on, but until then, I will catch up with you soon.